the door. This world has been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Thank you.
God's people, welcome to church. Let's stand together with our songbooks, please. Song number 25. Song number 25, How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord. Let's sing it joyfully from our hearts. Page number 25, lift it up on the first now.
Singing. It is a joy to be in God's house. What a tremendous crowd. And the fourth Sunday of June, and next Sunday closes out the month in the house of God. And it has been a great and a tremendous week. We praise God for the 41st Youth Conference here and all that God accomplished. And we praise Him for the decisions made and the lives that were changed. And we stand in awe, God's people, for your service this week. And we praise God for Brother Luke Flood. What a tremendous job. And he is an amazing man. We praise God for all that took place this week. It's good to be in God's house. Looking forward to God and Country Sunday, next Sunday.
Yep.
And I know more will be said about that. But thank you for joining us. We're looking forward to a great day. It's good to see the Heibergs here from Spokane, Washington. And Esther's from our church here. They graduated from Golden State, I think about 2013, serving the Lord up there. And we praise God for you. And then I heard there was Brother Goldchild here from Washington over here as well. And we praise God for you. I know we've got several here on vacation, but it's good to have God's people here today. Let's commit this service as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, thank you so much for your love to us. And as we have just sung, we desire, Lord, for you to refine us today through the preaching of your word. I pray you draw the lost to salvation. May this service magnify the precious name of Jesus. May you be uplifted in song this morning. Use the choir, the special music, and the congregational, Lord, to bring glory and honor to thy name. For we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing.
So long ago, old Satan came right by my side, making me feel low. He brought up thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along my way. He said, "You're undeserving, 'cause I know where you've been. When you were bound by sin, I know your darkest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell?" Well, I heard the old accuser, and this was my reply: "You're right for all those things I've done. I truly deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rags. My goodness is unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you've said to me. It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. Victory was given me when I was born again. He washed my stained and sinful past and brought me life within. No longer do I bear the mark that sin had brought my way. With happiness and peace of mind, praise God, I now can say, I now can say, it's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I know what I used to be. My life's been changed.
It's under the blood. Choir, I don't think there's enough room, but could you be seated right there if you will, if it's all possible. Run. Isn't it great you have a church we get to go to that not enough chairs in the choir in the middle of summer. Good to see you up in the balcony, the lower floor. This past week, as Pastor Everson said, it's been incredible. We've had different people giving words of testimony. Brother Thiago, would you come and tell your testimony? Most of our people did not hear it. Just come right now, if you will. Inquire if I'm feeling led, or Brother Martinez, we might have the man sing a different song, but we need your help. How God reached this man and so many of our folks, how God reached them. Tell the church what you told the young people this week, please.
Well, I came from Brazil about several years ago after a big tragedy took place in my family. I have my uncle murdered, and also my brother, Felipe. His name is Felipe. It was Felipe. And he was 26 years old. He left 5 kids. And it was such a horrible thing. And criminals started coming to find other members of my family, myself included. And after my life, like, destroyed spiritually, mentally, almost physically, and I had an opportunity to come to the United States. I arrived at San Francisco Airport, and with $1,800 in my pocket, and nobody was waiting for me. Nobody ever knew anybody here in this country, no English, nothing. Just yes and no. That's the only two words I could speak. I'm getting better. And then my mind was, I spent all the money buying food and internet to try to find some job. And someone took me to the mountains to work, like, harvesting, and it was such a hard time for me. I slept in a tent for almost a year, cold, and I bought a car and started sleeping in a car. And then I went to Los Angeles, and in that time I found my wife. I had a joy to meet my wife, and I tried to rent a house to live with her, and by mistake I chose San Jose. But I tried to find San Diego, and my mind was everything closed. San Diego, Santa Ana, that was what I was. And I got a notice that I got a lease agreement approved, and then I just came. So I had no documents to get approved in any other place. So God brought me here to North First Street. And my wife was just driving by and saw that steeple. And then we decided to come to this church. Yeah. And you got saved here. Mr. Yeah. Tribble led my wife to Christ. Amen. And since that happened, my life's been changed. Amen. And then now we have a Brazilian ministry. Amen. And I'm trying to use my life to help people and to do something for God. And I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to sing. But I know Portuguese. I'm from Brazil. I should know that, right? So I'm trying to use that for the word of God. Brother Andrew is like, he's teaching our Brazilian class, and I'm having a joy to translate for my people, my people, and I love them. Amen. They are the best, and they are getting saved, baptized, and the kids got saved. And Yasmin got saved in the morning, the Monday. And God is doing his work. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. Stay right here, brother. I had you sing a different song, but how about I Stand Redeemed? We don't have song books. We have a page 337, I think. And choir, where's Brother Eliud? Are you in here? You get ready to bring the choir in the chorus. And I stick it. Will you sing that for us?
Yes.
When I think of all my faults and my failures, when I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled by the grace he has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. I could never earn his love on my own. Yet every time I come before his throne, I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I am. And when he looks at me, hand that bought my liberty, I stand redeemed. Even at my best, I am unworthy. I have nothing precious I can give. My broken life is all I have to offer. And yet, it is a priceless gift to him. The bitter mark of sin will never fade away. But I can come before him unashamed. I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I am. And when he looks at me, he sees the nail-scarred hand that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. When he looks at me, he sees the nail-scarred hand that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed.
Yeah, somebody shout amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Let's sing it together. Amazing grace, how sweet that saved a wretch like me. I was but now I but now I see.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?
Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree.
The scrubs of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away.
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die, God's Son would die, to save a wretch like me? What love divine, he gave his life for mine. His scars of suffering brought me healing. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die, God's Son would die, to save a wretch like me? What love divine, he gave his life for mine. He was despised and rejected, stripped of his garments and oppressed. I am loved and accepted, and I wear a robe of righteousness. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be
be in church today. And so thank you so much for being present this morning. Ushers, if we come through the house with the bulletins, if you would. And raise your hand if we've missed you with the bulletin and some of the different announcements and things going on in our church. I do want to announce tonight at 6 o'clock the evening service. And we're looking forward to being in our place. And we're continuing the series, When a Nation Forgets God. And so you're going to want to be a part of the evening service tonight. And then also following the evening service tonight, there is a senior, NVBS senior fellowship. Well, it's for the church family, but they're providing it there. And you can see it. It's actually number 4, the senior cafe. Loaded nachos tonight. And so make sure that you bring some extra cash and participate in that. And we're looking forward to that. And then also the evening service. I do want to thank our membership in the North Valley Baptist Church for Youth Conference this past week. And the hundreds and hundreds of teenagers that were here in the auditorium. And I know that many of our members were able to catch several of those different services in different times. But it is a privilege to invest in the next generation. And sooner than the teens realize, and probably sooner than we who are graduated or out of the youth group would like, is that they are going to become the leaders of America, not only in the political field or the scientific field or the computer field, but also in our churches. And they are going to be the ones that are going to lead our churches onto greater and bigger things when God uses them in their life. And so the decisions made this week, we invested in the next generation. And all the different servants and all the different people who work, from the food services to the maintenance, the bus drivers, the security, every single person who invested this week, thank you so much for doing that. And all the decisions that were made for God, and pray that they continue to make good decisions as God uses them and for many, many years to come.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Flood. Let's take your Bibles today and turn to the book of Hebrews for our scripture reading. Hebrews in chapter number 3 today. And it's such a blessing to have you here. Thank you for the music, choir. We had a big ship up here last week, and I'm always very excited about that. It's on Father's Day, the different things and decorations that we have for the theme. But it's always good to get the choir back. Amen. No choir like it. Amen. Thank you for singing today and feeding your spot orchestra. We're having a wonderful summer. The balconies are full up there, the lower floor. And we're grateful for all of you. These buildings have refilled this hour, Sunday school being conducted for children as well. And the other property we have, it's packed with the Spanish ministry and the Sea ministry over there today. And we're thankful for all God's doing. We have groups that are out traveling the country, preaching and singing every night. Good results are happening. And again, I say thank you as well for this past week. Our Bibles were in Hebrews chapter 3, and I might want to tell you, most of you maybe do not go online and know this, but every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock out by the Statue of Liberty, I make a video. It's brief, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and I don't know if you are accustomed to watching it or not, but it will indicate where I'm preaching next Sunday, and I hope that you'll use that for a few minutes to listen to it. Because next Sunday, June the 30th, yes, it's God and Country Sunday, red, white, and blue next Sunday in this auditorium, a little earlier this year than July 4th falls on a Thursday. Pardon me. But it also, on the 30th, marks the halfway point of the year. The first 6 months are history next Sunday. And I want you to take some time this week to analyze the first 6 months. I've already begun to do that in preparation for next Sunday. I see some things that God's done in my life, in our marriage, our church, that I'm very grateful for. I see some disappointments in my life as well. And I hope that you'll just take a time to look at your finances, your spiritual walk with God, your family, your faithfulness to the things of God, and just take a look at it, how the first six, and don't beat yourself up. All of us have failed. And so I'm grateful for your good. Brother Miller, Sister Miller, good to have your kids with us from Southern California. I appreciate you being here. All of you that are here today, it's wonderful to see you in God's house. I believe we'll stand today. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 7 through 15. And I'll begin reading with you, but I'll drop out so I don't mess you up. I have a tendency to do that. Pause at the commas, semicolons, periods. And Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 7 through verse 15. Hebrews 3, 7, let's begin. Ready, begin. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, Today, wonderful. We're glad to have babies in the auditorium up in the balcony and down here. I want to remind you, if they're 2 months or older, we have nurseries, and the ushers can help you with that. As we get approaching the Word of God, I want everyone to be able to hear a very imperative message for today, for my life, for yours. Ushers, please come. As we're drawing to this Sunday, the 23rd, and next Sunday, the 30th, our fiscal year ends next Sunday. We have to have more money in the account than we have bills. This is a nonprofit organization, and if you run a nonprofit, you know how difficult it is. And somehow for 49 years, we've made it up until this month, so we'll see how it goes. Really, as our business manager explained it to me, what next week is when we close out and the auditors will come in about, maybe within 30 days. They're stopping on the 30th. We take a picture of where we are financially. We just see where we're at. We stop right there. How many bills in the file? What's the balances? And so it's very imperative. And I would hope that today and next Sunday we can do our very best to be very generous with the work of God. Father, thank you for what you're doing for us. You're keeping the college alive. No income in the summer, but it's alive. It's going forward. Thank you for the many students that have enrolled for the fall, even this week. Thank you for the Christian school. There's no income all summer, but we still have a Christian school preparing for August 28th. Thank you for the publications this season. The year normally is a little bit down. Thank you for the radio and the live stream, all that goes on, the music we pay for, every song we sang today, every song 24 hours a day on the radio, we pay for that. And I thank you that you're sustaining it. And I thank you for sustaining worldwide missions, all the hundreds that tens of thousands of dollars that go out every month to our missionaries around the globe. You're so good to us. And I pray that today we be able to keep the buses running, the lights on, the bills paid, and advancing the cause of Christ financially. Thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. your Bibles there, Hebrews chapter 3. A wife speaks to her husband. She says, Do you think you can do this for me today? And you fill in the blank, because ladies always have things for us to do. Fellas, do you have one of those refrigerators? They put a magnet and they have a to-do list on it. Why is my name always on the to-do list and nobody else is in the home? I don't understand that. Fellas, come on, don't leave me out here hanging by myself. Give me an amen or something. Ask your wife if you could say amen right now. Will you ask her right now? May I say amen to that? An unmarried guy. He knows nothing about what I'm talking about. Your wife says, do you think you can do this? Sure. 3 days later, it's still not done. There's many descriptions for behavior like that. One is laziness. One is carelessness. One is stupidity. When the wife asks you to do something and you don't come through, that's just dumb. Why do we do things like that? Because we don't like our mate? Because we don't like our family? No, we procrastinate. And I'm preaching to myself. We have an area in the backyard, a shed, and I have been attempting the last 3-4 weeks to clean that shed up, and somehow it's gotten out of order. I try, if I use a tool, put it right back. But somehow, and I would like to say it wasn't from me. I like to say it's the sweet wife the Lord gave me, and she just keeps dumping things out there. But it's my problem. I've got to deal with it. I wish I could say I'm 100% perfect at this. But all of us have a tendency to procrastinate. Example, how many of you are sitting next to a person right now that has a tendency to procrastinate? All hands up. You don't want to fight in church, do you? How many have a tendency yourself to procrastinate? Hands up. Now, there's some good Christians. First crowd was kind of a dumb, never mind, we won't say anything about that. I want to speak today on the subject, the danger of procrastination. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll take care of it tomorrow. I'll handle it tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. God says, don't procrastinate. This text makes it very clear for us today. He is writing to Christians. The apostle, and I believe Paul wrote this, we're not told. It just seems like to me it's the apostle Paul in his writings. He says in verse 1, wherefore, what's the next two words, church? Holy brethren. He is not writing to heathens. He is writing to Christians. He said, I want to give you an example. I'm going to talk to you about not putting things off. Let me give you an example of two people, Jesus Christ and Moses. They dealt with things. Moses, God said, build an ark. It took 120 years, but he went and built an ark. And the Bible says, your examples are, consider the apostle, high priest, the profession of our faith, Christ Jesus, who is faithful. Appointed him. Also, Moses was faithful in his house. Verse 5, and Moses verily was faithful in his house as a servant for a testimony, those things which were to be spoken after. So he said, I'm going to tell you where I'm going with this in a minute, he said. But I want to lay the groundwork. I'm writing to you Christians. I'm writing to this crowd that's in this auditorium this morning that know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You stand redeemed, we heard about it this morning, by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God it's under the blood. Thank God I can say that I know Christ is my Savior. And he said, I'm writing to you like give you an example. Jesus Christ, who was faithful, who the last word he said was finished. He finished what his Father gave him to do. And then I'm going to give an example of Moses, he said. And Moses finished his task. Now we get to verse number 7. God is going to demand an action from us when we procrastinate. Procrastination is always a failure to have an action. There must be an action, whether it's in your marriage, your home, your parenting, your finances, your job. You're going to have to, leadership means I make a decision and I'm going to go forward with that decision. He gives us this word, and I want you to see this action. It shows up in the word, verse number 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, what's the next two words in there? We use them as one. What does it say? Today. Today. Look at verse number 13. Exhort one another daily while it's called what? Today. Verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice. Chapter 4, verse number 7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying, David, today. Go back to chapter 3 where we are, please. Today. You know, when God speaks, it demands an action. God's been speaking to our heart in this service this morning. I just love it. I love it. Hear the choir. They started this morning. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. I heard the trumpets down here, the orchestra back here, the pianist, the organist, the other pianist. I hear the choir singing. I want that to minister to my heart. God began to speak to me. God began to deal with me. I'm so grateful. I love every day of the week. Every day of my life there's a different schedule for almost every day. I try to make sure that every day is very special in my life, my responsibilities. But I tell you, there's something about Sunday. The Lord dealt with me early this morning. I was thinking about Sunday. I love Sunday. I love every day, but I love Sunday. Amen. And one of the things that God led on my heart right away is because I get to see the people of God. Amen. Oh, I know some Christians are difficult, and there's some grump cases, and there are some people that always have a problem, and I know there's some people undoubtedly are backslid. I know all that, but I tell you what, I've always, when I was a boy over here 20 minutes ago, I loved going to church to see the people. I loved to hear our small choir in those days when the church was young. I loved to hear the choir when it got bigger. I loved to go to church. I loved, our church was a little bit more highbrow, and I don't have a fault with it. The choir came out with robes on Sunday morning, and it really looked beautiful, and no one said a thing. The organist would give the chord. We'd all stand, praise God from whom all blessings flow. What's called the doxology. Sang it every Sunday. I loved it. On Sunday morning, our church, the numbers of the songs were in the bulletin. And they're also on a board over here. And our pastor, nobody would lead the music on Sunday. The organist would play a whole stanza normally, much of it. And we'd just start singing. And it told us 1, 3, and 5, how many stanzas we're going to sing. That's just the way it was. A little bit highbrow. And by the way, God used that in my life. That's why we sang How Firm a Foundation this morning. Those are great hymns of the faith. And I'm not complaining about my church. God used that. Sunday night was gospel service, evangelistic. Oh, since Jesus came into, I tell you what, I can remember standing as a boy next to I was on the end of the row, my dad, my mother, and then the sisters. And I tell you what, I love Sunday. I just loved it. Amen. And Sunday night, we're in that little building, little thin building, no electricity. And there was a farm next to the church about 5 feet away and a barbed wire fence, and that cow would always come lean his head over into our property. And I'd watch that cow during preaching. Oh, about 8:30 at night. In those days, church was getting over about 8:30, 8:40. And I thought, I hate this now. I've got to go to, I don't want to say the word in the pulpit, S-C-H-O-O-L, tomorrow. You know what that spells? College, that's exactly it. That's why we're going to enroll him in preschool this year. Because I tried to be a good Christian, I hated school. You didn't catch that, did you? How many of you strange people loved school? A lot of people. But if I had a Christian school like we have here, I would have loved it. I had to go to school on Monday. There was no singing, How Firm a Foundation. There was no singing, I Stand Redeemed. There was no singing, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I felt like such a sissy. I'd go to the bus stop with my twin sister, Jack and, yeah, real cute. I wouldn't stand with her. I was embarrassed with her. She was a good Christian. I was on Sunday. I was a good Christian on Sunday. I wanted church. I wanted preaching. I wanted Sunday school. I wanted the doxology. I was a good Christian on Saturday. I went to church and worked all day Saturday. And the maintenance, I loved it. I enjoyed it. I loved Saturday and Sunday. But going to school, I was standing at the bus stop. And in the 60s, everybody, girls and guys, all smoked as you wait for the bus. There's that weird twin sister of mine over there not smoking. And I stood over here, and Jerry, I wanted to smoke so bad so I could be cool like the rest of the guys. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Flood. I'd get upset. I didn't smoke because I loved my mom and dad. I knew it was going to break their heart. And I'd get ticked off sometimes on Monday thinking, why did I have to be born in a Christian home? And then I'd get guilty because I love my parents. And then I'd go to church Wednesday night. I was back on, and I wasn't trying to be a phony. I loved Wednesday night. But then I went back to public school. Everybody got to smoke with Jack. The break at high school, you take a break in the morning, you take a lunch, and the guys would go to billowing smoke out of the restrooms. Man, I wish I was able to do that. Hang out in a restroom? You got to be kidding me. Then someone's always there, teacher coming, and man, you could just smell smoke everywhere. And the teacher would say something like, are you guys smoking? We didn't have smart teachers back then. You know, when God speaks to you about anything, it always demands an action. For example, that procrastination, that item that your wife did ask you, could you do this? Deserves when you go home today, say, I'm so sorry. I promise you, in 3 months from now, I will get it done. I mean, procrastination just always deserves. God would speak to me, Brother Martinez, on Sunday. He would. He'd convict me of my sin. I want to get it right, on Sunday, and I did. When was the last time God spoke to you about sin? I'm talking about you've been unkind in the home. You've been critical in the home. You've been antagonistic in the home. You destroy. You pick away at your mother. You pick away at your father. You pick away at your children. Or you pick away at your husband or your wife. Everything is always an issue. Everything's bad. When was the last time God said, stop it? And did you do it? When God speaks to your heart, I need to call my mother-in-law and tell her I'm so sorry. I didn't speak to her kindly. I need to call my father. I need to talk to my wife about this. I need to get right with that neighbor. I need to get right with someone at work. If you're saying, well, God doesn't talk to me that way, then the Bible says Romans 8, 9, it's because you're none of his. My dad's presence convicted me. But my Heavenly Father's Holy Spirit that lives within me convicts me. That's part of his job, to convict me of sin and wrong and judgment and things I do wrong in my life. No one has to tell me. You need to apologize for that. You need to get that right. And God says, action is today. Not tomorrow. It's today. In fact, look what he says. Today, if you will, what's the key word? Hear his voice. We sing on page 140. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear. I try to listen. The Spirit of God says, why don't you My wife and I both this way. Why don't you put some more money in the offering plate? Why don't you give some money to that couple right there? Why don't you do something for this college kid? Why don't you help this high schooler out? Why don't you help this single adult woman? Why don't you help this for my wife? Why don't you help this father raising kids alone, or this mother raising kids alone? Why don't you help them? Why don't you do something for the senior citizen? Does God, he says, he that you got to hear. So he never talks to me that way. He talks to us every day that way. Every day. We don't want to be a reservoir where we're holding all here. We want to be a funnel where God can send it into us and give it out to him. I'd love to give you the illustration, but I think I'd remove the blessing of God. God moved on my heart to do something this week, and it wasn't small. It was rather large. And then I added something else and something else. And before I knew it, it was quite a bit of money. It happened to be money. It won't be a tax deduction or anything of that nature. God just led me to do that. But you know, I got a check in the mail for a refund. That same day I wrote that check. And it was numerous of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And I put that check in the account right away. I had written a check already, and I made $10 off the deal. And to me, it was just like God said, Jack, go ahead, write that check, and it was fairly large. I didn't remember I was going to get this refund. It's amazing what God can do. Some years I have to pay extra on my taxes. Some years I don't. I've been waiting for a check for the government from 2019. They owe me $2,000. And on January the 3rd or 4th, they sent a note and said, it'll be in your account. It will be there in 2 weeks. It never showed up, and we're still looking for it. I forgot all about it till right now, but I'm going to tell you something. I mean, 2019? Thank God. You can trust the government. They ought to run the post office. Maybe we can make money or something. They ought to run more. The government does great. Can you imagine running a business that way? See, that check's in the mail. Oh, I've heard that before. When God speaks to whether it's money or whether it's praying for someone or whether it's fasting or for getting a meal and whether it's getting out of bed in the middle of the night and praying for some family or lost family members, get up and do it today. Always an action. Always an action. Look what the Bible says. Today, he says in verse 13 as well, exhort one another daily while it's called today. Encourage one another today. Ms. Treber taught me this years ago. You'll never say, if I can do anything for you, let me know. No. It's not if I can do anything for you, let me know. You say to me, hey, Pastor, if I can do anything for you, let me know. I'm going to call the phone and say, by the way, I need $3,000. Can you help me? You think I'm going to call you? I'm not going to put you in that position. I'm not going to say if I can do anything. I will say I'm always available. Never hesitate to call. But I'm also going to say I can do something about that need. I may not have money for that need, but I can get out of bed in the midnight hour while I'm just laying there anyway and go to the place of prayer and pray today for that need. You're burdened about your son or your daughter. That's not doing right. And you say, well, if I can just hold on another year or two or three, they'll be out of the home, they'll be in college, it'll be over. It's never over. And we want to procrastinate and say, tomorrow they'll be gone. I won't have to deal with it. No, tomorrow turns into weeks, months, years. You'll pray more for your kids and your grandkids that God deposits into your home today. What action do you need to involve yourself. Secondly, and I'm done. Don't get excited, because when I say I'm done, it could take me 2 hours on this last one. And it won't take me 2 hours. I find not only does God demand an action, you never put it off and procrastinate. But I want you to see, he also talks about our attitude. Verse 8, he talks about a hard heart. Harden not your heart. You see that in verse 13, the latter part of the verse? Harden. You're hardened. You see that in verse number 15? Harden. Don't get a hard heart. Never a heart like stone. Don't allow your heart to get hard. Verse 10, not only a hard heart, but a rebellious heart. Therefore, I was grieved with that generation. They said they do always err. They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. A rebellious heart has an evil heart, and it's my way, not God. God says, I want you to get on my way. I am the way. Get on my path. I'm not going to get on God's path. I'll do the church thing Sunday morning, but I'm not going to do Monday through Saturday. I deserve some time for myself too. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Get on God's way. God's way is not only a good way or the best way, it's the only way. We have a hard heart. We have a rebellious heart. But look at verse 13. I see an evil heart. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest there be a hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. An evil heart sees that God, okay, the Jews were here for 40 years. God was patient. Judgment didn't come. God's judgment is sometimes delayed. I got away with this. Nobody's going to see. No one's going to know. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, his eyes are all over this earth, seeking where he could place a blessing on those that literally love him and fear his name. Holiness, fear, to have reverence toward his name. But these people, they thought delayed judgment meant no judgment. The Bible speaks here in the latter verse, I think the last verse in the chapter, is unbelief. When we get to the point we don't believe that God can do what he needs to do, or we ask him to do, then we become just like heathen. God could do anything. God can give us grace when our world is turned upside down. And notice what he says to, when you put things off, notice how it affects your heritage. Verse 9, when your fathers tempted me and proved me, and saw my works 40 years. They saw what I was doing. But they still put things off. And so I had to deal with them in time. Procrastination is always wrong. To put off is always not only sin, but it brings consequences. America, and I close, America was in a very wicked moment in history in the late 1700s. The words they used, that America had turned to debauchery, to immorality, to drunkenness, to immoral sin, thievery. And our young country in the latter 1700s, there was a preacher we have through our publications, his book, Jonathan Edwards. They say Jonathan Edwards is probably, not just as a theologian, but undoubtedly one of the smartest minds, if not the smartest mind that America has ever enjoyed. He was kind of eccentric. He pastored in New England. He would spend about 11 hours a day in prayer and Bible study. To me, it doesn't sound like he was really an engaged father, but somehow all his kids wound up wanting to serve God. He's kind of weird. He really didn't take time, it seemed like, for his children, for his family, for his wife. But he just prayed and studied the Word of God. He gets so burdened for our America. He is the father. If you look up on computer, not a religious site, any, and say the first awakening. Because there's been two, one in the 1700s, one in the 1800s. It was Jonathan Edwards that preached. He said, we're being careless on Sunday. We're doing our own thing on Sunday. We come to church and we're not awake to the things of God. I'm not attacking you. You're the best listening church. It's amazing. He was so distressed with his people and the church and society. He began to pray for our little America at that time. One day he stood and he preached the famous message, and you probably have read it, sinners in the hands of an angry God. They said that people would gather outside trying to get in, and they would hold on to the pillars out front of the church on the porch, just shaking. They fell under such deep conviction. They said revival took place and great things took place. And this word was written, Jonathan Edwards, he described what happened at North Hampton this way. They were remarkable tokens of God's presence in almost every house. You see, if we want to get the church house right, we have to get my house and your house right. How much involvement is God in our life? Or is it internet all day and television all day and programming all day? Are there spiritual things going on in your heart? You're with your children, your grandkids. Are you reading them the Bible? Are you telling them about the Bible? Do they know one of the greatest things? I'll have a funeral here Tuesday, one of my deacons. And I know that he told his kids and grandkids his testimony. But will your kids see you in a casket and never even know your salvation testimony? Your grandkids need to know where you were raised and how you were brought up and what your home was like and what mother was like and what dad was like and what about school? And does it all need to be positive that you went to school uphill in the snow with no shoes on and went home the same way uphill? Don't tell me everything was great. You don't need to expose sin. They can't live up to this perfection grandparent or parent. But have you deposited your life into them? And he said there was a spiritual awareness in every home. Listen to this. Our public assemblies were beautiful. The congregation was alive in God's service. Everyone was earnest when they came for public worship. Every hearer eager to drink the words of the minister as they came from his mouth. And it wasn't just speaking of himself. The assembly in general were from time to time in tears while the word of God was preached. Some were weeping with sorrow and distress. Others with joy and love for others. Others were pity and concern for their neighbors. Public confession, public prayer to God, acknowledging our backsliding and humbling ourselves before God for our sins, seeking His forgiveness and reformation. You know when that needs to take place? Tomorrow. Oh no. Today. Amen. How is God speaking to our dear friends in the balcony? God is speaking for salvation. You need to come. Today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. You don't put off salvation to tomorrow. You may not be alive. This dear deacon, Brother Florendo, I'll lay to rest this week. The last service on a Sunday night, he was there. Not knowing that the next day at an appointment, he'd pass away the next day. believe it was your uncle, Carl, that's 56 years of age, and his sweet mother and dad and family and wife and kids, they didn't realize on a Thanksgiving night, right back there, he was going to have a massive heart attack and be gone in just moments. Brother Poussin, your grandmother that prayed for your salvation had a stroke right down over here, and in time passed away with that. What is your life? It's been a vapor to perish for a moment's vanished. I want to be so right with that lady there that if I'd be in a coffin tomorrow, and I know I wouldn't be able to think these thoughts, but I don't want to die with regrets. I don't want to die with regrets with God's people here. I don't want to have any odd against anybody here in this place. Why? Because God wants me to be right with Him today. And salvation and forgiveness and stopping bitterness and all that and sin. Don't procrastinate. Our Heavenly Father, today I'm so grateful. Another Sunday, you've given me this privilege to stand before the people of God. May we not procrastinate. Perhaps you're calling some young man to the ministry to preach. A young lady to dedicate her life to God. Said, whatever He wants from me, for God wants it from me, His will I'll do. If He but speaks, I'll obey at His voice. I've already decided His will is my choice. God, speak to our young people that are in this room. Speak to our elderly people, the middle-aged people, the lonely people, the unsaved people, the people that have anger in their heart. I pray to speak to our internet friends today. God, please, may we not procrastinate. May we not say, I'll get it ready, I'll get right tomorrow. Today is the day. Today. Bless these dear people. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand. If you're here to pray about something, would you come right now? If you need a man to pray with a man, a lady to pray with a lady, you come right now. If you need to be saved, would you come right now? Right now. How about in the balcony? You're all saved up there. Do y'all know Christ is your Savior? Keep coming. I wonder today, God speaking to your heart about your wandering son or your wandering daughter or your wandering husband or wife. Careless in the things of God. Keep coming. Is God calling you to do something? I would have to think that this morning God's speaking to someone, Brother Flood, to be a bus worker. I'm talking about a sold out bus worker, bringing people to Jesus Christ, bringing them in every week to hear the gospel. I'm confident you kids up there, God has something big for your life, you bus kids. God bless you kids. We're so proud of you, so grateful for you that you come to church. What amazing. You are putting good ingredients in as teenagers that's going to show up in life. I wonder, you'll probably be good fathers by the grace of God and good mothers. And good wives and good husbands. That's my prayer for your life. Keep coming. Keep coming. So if my friends don't want to come, well, keep coming. God's more important than your friends. How about the balcony? Anybody else need to be saved? How about the lower floor? You say, Brother Treber, I need to be saved. No one looking. Would you raise your hand? I need to be born again. I need to know that Christ is my Savior. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray? I won't call your name. Will you slip it up? All over the house. Who else? I need to be saved. This Treber and I were talking about some folks that we love in this church. He said, I don't think he's saved. I just don't believe he's born again. It's not that we don't like you or don't love you. That's a good pastor's wife and a pastor that loves you so much. We're concerned for your soul. Concerned. The longest backslider we find in the Bible was less than a year. This business getting away from God, you're out for 5 years, 10 years, that's not Bible. Something's missing. Bus captains and drivers, if you need to slip out, we understand. Don't procrastinate. Lord, what a great privilege to be called the shepherd. The pastor of these dear people. They live all around the Silicon Valley and other cities and other counties. and to come into this place with a desire to please you. I thank you for their attendance, their faithfulness. I thank you for the fact they bring a Bible. I thankful God that they sing, they tithe. They're trying to be right with you. I believe every man is trying to be respectful to his wife and wife to husband. I believe these kids are trying to be good kids to their parents and parents to kids, but we all fail. Oh God, when we fail, may we get it right today, immediately. I'm sorry. I know I'm your dad, but I'm sorry. I should not have behaved like that. I was wrong. Bless these homes, these lives, these individuals. May we have a great testimony at work this week. Thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am just thrilled with the summer. It's a great crowd. It's a wonderful crowd. And I don't think we're giving anything special away or anything. We're baptizing. Let's baptize. I'm sorry I didn't see that. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Brother Pastor Evanson.
This is Joe Mendez from Brother Flood's route. Brother Flood's route number 5. He trusted Christ as his Savior at youth conference on Monday night.
Good.
And has come for baptism today. Joe, have you asked Jesus to be your Savior?
Yes, I have.
Upon your profession of faith and obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
Wonderful people, thank you for being here. As we leave out these driveways today, we don't use the far driveway. That's for the buses. This one, the middle one, Golden Avenue and Compassion Lane. Follow the traffic control. We only turn right. You can do a U-turn at the light, but go right and try to obey them. They do a good job. Look forward to tonight. July the 3rd is a Wednesday night. Our vice president of the college, Mr. Treber, and I'll be here. Brother Oxen and I'll be preaching. He is was a ranking officer in the military. 27 years ago, came to our college. Gave up an easy career. He would have been long retired and a lot of money. And gave it up for us, for the name of Christ. And his wife gave it up. And he'll speak on that Wednesday night, a patriotic service. Afterwards, we go outside. I believe everything, Brother Flood, he's on a bus. I believe everything's free. We have hot dogs that night and soda and drinks or whatever we have and chips. And there's jumps out here for the kids. Sixth grade and below, all the kids get a North Valley Baptist T-shirt. It's a patriotic one for this year, every year. And just a wonderful time. And so we'll look forward to that on July 3rd. Next Sunday is God and Country Sunday. And it's red, white, good. That's great. I want to pass you a roll. Get out to the lobby. When I pass you a roll, you'll be dismissed. Great crowd. 6 o'clock tonight. And next Sunday, the last Sunday of the fiscal year. And last Sunday in the first half of the year.